Blog Talk Radio.
From Genesis to Revelations, you could read in the pages, and you'll see black faces, the people in the book, yeah, they look like me. Change the faces and the color they took from me. Made from the purest of the rich dark mud. What color was he when it was all said and done? Tell me, what color would be the Israelite if he caught leprosy and his skin would turn white? Moses put his hand in his bosom and turned snow. Did it again and then back to its natural form. King Solomon said, I'm black, but I'm comely. Then what color would all of Solomon's sons be? Jesus went to a black Egypt to hide. How could that be done with blonde hair with blue eyes? Samson had seven locks. It talks about hair like wool, feet burnt like coal pots. Paul was mistaken for the Egyptian criminal. Could that be possible if he had a white visual? It's not about skin color, or close to that, it's just a fact. The people of the Bible are black. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Black hats and skull caps, black suits with white strings. The only thing he ain't black, the Israeli is from the land. But the Israelite is from Jacob, who was the man. They dwelt by the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea, Gentile, before they put on the mask of me, the seed of Japheth. What the heck? How could you be a Jew when your father was Ashkenaz? They met with a Muslim bishop, an Israelite, to determine what doctrine sounded the most right. The religion of the Jews chose the Kagan. They mixed it with the doctrine of pagan. They wrote their own Talmud, many books they finished, and they tried to say Hebrew was a European Yiddish. Today, they call themselves Jews. How bizarre. Yesterday, they were barbarians known as Khazars. God, may God, yo, the only faking is written in Revelation. To the synagogue of Satan, Revelations to to be exact, it's undisputable, the Israelites are black. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? It's not about skin complexion, it's not about white or black, or anything to that direction. Every man got flesh and bones and skin tones. The Israelites are black, I'm just making it known. The truth hurts, but there's no other way to say it. If you missed it, press stop, rewind the blade. If you understand it, come on, come on, fall in the rank. Yo, here comes the roll call. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. We are the 12 tribes of Israel. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. We are the 12 tribes of Israel. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
One of the most frequently asked questions I receive about the Bible is, what about when Joshua and the nation of Israel entered the land of Canaan? They were instructed to wipe out every man, woman, and child of certain tribes. I've talked to some people whose entire rejection of the Bible and God rests on this portion of the biblical text. What no one ever mentions when recounting this issue is that according to the story itself, the tribes that they killed were non-human hybrids called the Nephilim, and they were huge. They had iron beds 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. It says that the Israelites were like grasshoppers in the sight of the Canaanites. These Nephilim were the offspring of very evil spiritual beings, and they were apparently the primary reason God sent the flood. Satan knew of the prophecies of one that would come to defeat him, and before any of the prophets came to expand on how this was to occur, all he knew at that point was that the Messiah would be a human. The Nephilim were an attempt to infiltrate the entire bloodline of humanity so that the Messiah could not be a full-blooded man. And if it weren't for Noah and his family, it would have worked. Then when Abraham found out from God that the land of Canaan was to be given to Abraham, Satan also found out, and he had over 400 years to plant this minefield of Nephilim in the land of Canaan in an attempt to thwart the plan of God. Genesis 6:4 tells us that the Nephilim were also on the earth after the flood, and it is them who Joshua was told to wipe out. Tribes such as the Rephaim, the Emim, the Horim, the Zamzumim were all giants. The kingdom of Og was the land of the giants. Later, we also find Arba and Anak and his seven sons, the Anakim, also giants, along with the famed Goliath and his four brothers. Now, if you want to say, well, God should have let the 13-foot-tall evil hybrids bent on the destruction of humanity for the purpose of wiping out any chance for the redemption of man go, then you're free to think what you want. But please remember, this is according to the biblical narrative itself, which is where the accusations come from in the first place. The point is that if you're going to claim that you know that God is a tyrant because of this portion of the Bible, and you didn't know the rest of the story, just think about how many other issues there are in regard to the Bible where you might have misplaced animosity. It may be that you just are in need of further study. Thank you for your time.
All right. Shalom, everyone. Welcome to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is hosted by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Georgia Johnson, and today on our beautiful Shabbat, Friday, February 19th, 2010, we have an excellent show for you. The title of it is Revisiting the Garden of Eden, the version that they don't teach. But before we jump into the Garden of Eden, the one that's spoken of in Genesis, you know, I made a couple changes to the show. I'm just going to let everybody become aware of. First of all, welcome everyone in the chat room. The changes that I made to the show is I added an extra hour to the show for the fact that we have such important material to cover. And I just want to make sure that at least out of our first show, we got a lot of it covered. This is a very, very important topic because it's very controversial. Now, we will have the call-in line open the last half hour of the show, and I will also be bringing out my co-host after I set the foundation so that you can have a better understanding of what we're getting ready to discuss. Now, as children in our Sunday schools within the beast religious systems, we were taught about the Garden of Eden. There were some verses that, you know, kind of made us wonder, something like, the talking serpent, you know. As a child, I remember seeing serpents, but I don't recall them talking. How about the apple? I remember hearing about an apple. You know, when I got old enough to look in the Bible myself, I looked for that apple. I didn't see it. You know, there's a lot of verses like that that make us wonder. You know, we keep wondering, well, how about the sin that they committed and the punishment for that sin they committed? You know, did it really make sense? How about the reasoning for the serpent causing them, both Adam and Eve, to fall? There's a lot of things like that within this portion of the Bible or the scriptures that leaves us wondering. You know, we're going to try to address all these issues and answer these questions and more by taking a deeper look at what the Father Yah is saying to us through the scriptures. Now, we're also going to cross-reference the scriptures with resources such as the Book of Enoch, the first book of Adam and Eve, and the Apocalypse of Abraham. Now, I know some of you at this point are saying, why are we going through these other books and not just the scriptures? Well, my answer to that question is this. Man is given symbology throughout the scriptures, as well as spiritual and physical meanings. The Most High anointed His chosen people and prophets to record history so that we may learn and get out of a sinful nature, not making the same mistakes that our forefathers did, while warning us of the deception of men and the fallen angels. We know that the Most High's words are not fallible, but we know that man's word is, can be. We see this throughout, we see this also throughout Scripture as well as history, this infallible man and how lies are brought about. We know that Satan has been kicked out of his proper place due to his pride and free will. We know that he has seduced or beguiled many into deception, whereby causing them to turn from the truth, be used, and thus lose their salvation. The same, I want to put it like this. We know that men, somehow they fall into a category where they can be used by Satan to get his will done on earth. Now, these same wicked men, if we think about it, the Bible talks about it. They say, crafty counsel. That's what's spoken of in Psalms 83. These people, these crafty counsel spoken of in Psalms 83, they tried to hide the truth from the Most High's people. You know, we got to take a look at this. They did that back then. It says that they have taken crafty counsel against your people and have consulted against your hidden ones. Right there, they're talking about the children of Israel. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation so that the name of Israel may be no more into remembrance. These same ones who have spoken and taught a false rapture theory, and that because Israel is lost, i.e. the 12 lost tribes, now they say, we are all spiritual Israel. You know, these same men, they have been doing this in other parts of our lives and Scripture as well. They have been diligently working on the New World Order. Everybody know what that's about. And setting up the kingdom on earth for Satan. Oh, they have been doing so many things. They have hidden many things from mankind and the Israelites, like the evidence of Nephilim, the reason for the flood of Noah. And many don't even know there was a flood before Genesis called the deluge. They have also hidden the reason Yah told Israelites to destroy the surrounding tribes. You know, why did he want them to destroy those tribes when they consisted of men, women, and children, even animals? Most High said, destroy them. He said this, they won't teach it properly, but he said to destroy these tribes, these other tribes, because these were Nephilim and not pure DNA. They were not pure DNA seed line lineage. This same crafty council, they have taken inspired books like Enoch, Adam and Eve, Abraham, the Jubilees, which gives more light, insight into the matters of the spiritual wickedness that has been trying to deceive and destroy mankind and the Israelites since the beginning of time and still are. They've taken those books and they've not placed them in the Bible. You know, you question why. Why would they take those books out of the Bible when the Bible talks about Enoch? It talks about Adam and Eve. It talks about a lot of these people. Why would they not add them? You know, you have to wonder. I would ask myself, is it possible that they have been hiding more truth concerning Scripture from us? You know, is it possible? That's all I ask is that you look at. Is that possible? Looking at the things which were hidden some 50 years ago, you know, until right now, that we have come to understand all these things that were hidden from us, such things as we know now as conspiracies, you know, all these things were plotted out to bring many of us in confusion or once again setting up Satan's kingdom. They leave us in confusion, not understanding the true meaning of the Scriptures. When I say that, I mean they're putting in words in the Scriptures. Not that the words are wrong in the Bible. in the scriptures. What I'm saying is, you got to remember, mankind did the translation. Man can be infallible. It's not that the words they put were wrong, but they could have used other words. That, you know, those words that we take in the Bible, other words in the Bible, or excuse me, in the scriptures, in Hebrew, we look them up in the Strong Concordance, there's many definitions for that word. And that's what we're going to look at today. Because we have to understand that we are living in a satanic world, which is ruled by Satan right now. The Most High has allowed him to rule. We have to have that understanding. Don't come in to knowledge just with blinders on. You know, this is something that when the Ruach Spirit leads you into truth and understanding, you have to be able to look at it for what it's worth, research it, come into truth with it, and then if you know that it's possible that this could be truth, go from there with it. Okay, just like this. Let's look at the Da Vinci Code movie. It is shown throughout the movie how symbology is used to either hide or to connect the dots. This is a tactic of Satan's. Satan has hidden knowledge from Yah's people using symbology. He used geometry and numerology. This is his way of doing things and giving understanding to his children. Look at the secret societies. I mean, we're finding about all this stuff now, okay? And the Bible, the scriptures tell us that there would be people like that, the crafty council, those who gather in darkness. And they're gathering in darkness against Yah's people, okay? So, you know, Satan has been doing this. He also uses disinformants and misguided information in the news, in the media, television, churches, radio programs, schools, and the religious system to confuse and deceive many into believing a lie. You know, we look at what we're seeing today everywhere. There's a lot of lies in it, you know? So just understand this. But make no mistake. You know, he only stole and he warped what the Most High has given to us, his people. We have symbology and parables given to us from the Most High within scriptures. Excuse me. You know, the Most High, through Yahushua, he gave us much understanding to these methods of using parables. So that we can understand symbology, where it says that a candlestick is like a church, where it says a star that's represented as an angel, or vice versa. You know, so we have these two. Satan has just stolen whatever the Most High has done, and he's perverted it. So we have to understand that Satan was here when we were formed and mankind was created. He was there when the Father did that. He knows that his time is short and he has been plotting a way to escape his doomed destruction. He knows about Yah's plan for salvation for his children through Yahushua's birth and his resurrection. He knew about all that. He also knew that in order for Yahushua to be born, there had to be a pure and perfect DNA seed line. So, do you think that maybe, just maybe, Satan had plans to corrupt this perfect seed line for our Savior's birth? That's a thought, isn't it? Let's take a look at this theory by using scripture. Okay, we're going to do that. So, what I'm going to do right now, you guys, I'm going to go over some of the scripture that has been deceiving a lot of people, I believe that just as well as there's spiritual meaning to a lot of words, sometimes it's physical and sometimes it's symbology. But the Father has left that for us to look into. We're supposed to search out the scriptures. He knew we'd be in a wicked time. So with that understanding, we're going to go ahead and start this, okay? I'm going to start at Genesis 3, the third chapter, And I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." And let me just say this. I want to back it up a little bit. I'm going to use the word Lord, God, whatever name comes in there in the scripture, because it has a big importance of what I'm going to reveal to you later, okay? So bear with me. We know that these are pagan names, but in order for me to bring this show to a head stream where you will understand exactly what's being said, I have to use these pagan words. Okay, now I have understanding here. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden?" Okay, let's take a look at that word serpent. If you look in the Strong Concordance, the Hebrew word, which is 5175, is nakash. That word means a snake from its hiss. Okay? Now, if you go back and look up the word nakash, it's worth 5172. Okay? A primitive root properly to hiss. That is, whisper a magic spell. To practice divination. To observe signs. It says also to practice fortune telling. To take as an omen. Okay, so you see that, you know, this serpent, you know, is it really a serpent? If it is a serpent, it's no ordinary serpent. Okay, let's at least take that. It's no ordinary serpent. But we know that the serpent, the name of the serpent, is given to Satan in Revelation 12:9. Because if we read that, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." You know? Wow. That's something to think about. You know, I'm not trying to push anything that's not in Scripture, or, you know, I do follow the Strong Concordance, and I don't have a problem with looking into extra-biblical texts, that as long as it gives credence to what the Most High has already said. That's the whole point of this. We're just taking a look at this. You have to come to your own satisfaction what is in Scripture. I'm just presenting it. Now, if we look at that word tree, and it says, "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." The word tree, that's word 6086. It means eight. And it means a tree from its firmness. Now we go and we take a look at that word. Let's see. I think it's eight. Yeah, we look at that word. It's 6095. And I'm going to try to pronounce this. It's utsaw, a primitive root properly to fasten or make firm. That is, to close the eyes figuratively. The spine giving firmness to the body. The body is the trunk, and the arms and legs are the limbs. You understand? You know, there's many scriptures where the word tree is symbolically used for people. Now, we're gonna just prove that to you. There's many verses in there. And before I do that, I want to bring on my co-host. I'm going to have her reading some stuff to you as well. And she's going to join me in trying to explain what all these words mean and so forth. So before I go into what that word tree stands for, Rose, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listening audience, and then we'll pick up.
Shalom, shalom. My name is Rose Johnson, and I came to this truth not too long ago, realizing that I'm one of the lost tribes of Israel. According to Scripture, Deuteronomy 28, you start at verse 15 to 68. And I just thank and praise my Savior, Yahushua, and the Father, Yah, for opening my understanding, because I was, I was in a Christian church from a child on up. But really, they never could give me understanding. They kept telling me to just, I'll just believe, you know, but they couldn't give me no answers. to all the misery I was going to. So, but anyway, I'm really grateful that the Father has opened my understanding, and, you know, I'm seeking truth, and just like the rest of us, you know, and he's showing us, breaking the strongholds down, the veil that was been on over our eyes. He's opening our eyes up, and I'm really grateful to see how he's waking our people up and those who really seek truth. So I just turn this back over to Georgia.
Okay, thank you, Rose. And we're gonna really try to break this down for you. I'm not just gonna throw words out at you. When I take this, I'm gonna put it into a YouTube format, and if you look in the description, I'm gonna give you links where you can look up this stuff yourself. Okay, this is stuff that really is common knowledge, but it's just that we as a people, we don't research anything. We need to get in the habit of not taking anyone's word for it. Going in the scripture, going into these extra biblical texts, you know, looking up the etymology of some of these words and finding out what they mean. Because I truly believe that we are in a time of vast deception. And when we break all this down, it's going to lead to a point. When we break all this down, you'll be like, well, maybe, just possibly this has some truth to it. So I left off talking about the tree. Now, as you saw, they are saying that the tree possibly could be a body. And we know that people have bodies. So, you know, there's parts of the scriptures here, and I'm going to list a couple for you if you want to look them up while I'm talking, that where the trees are being used symbolically for men, okay? If you look in Isaiah 65, verses 16 to 25, you'll find it there. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 10, look there. How about in Ezekiel 31, 1 through 14, and Dan 4, verses 18 through 28. You know, it goes on. There's a lot of verses where men, the symbol used for a man is a tree. So I just want to make that known that it's in the Bible. I mean, it's in Scripture. You guys got to look this up because, you know, we need to be awoken fully. We need to have understanding. You know, and we know that the dark side is constantly trying to keep us in the dark about a lot of things. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on. Okay, in the second verse, it says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. And remember, I'm reading their words. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Let's look at that word, fruit of the tree. That Hebrew word is 65:29, and it means fruit in a wide sense. It could mean a produce of the ground, or it has another meaning. Fruit, offspring, children, prodigy, used of the womb, or figuratively, fruit of action. Okay? And the part where it says, ye shall not eat of it. Well, let's look up that word, eat of it. That's word in Hebrews Concordance 3:9-8. It means a call. This word has many uses, among which one use may be to lay with a woman, which is a sexual act. Okay? Look up these words in the Strong Concordance. I've given you the numbers. All you got to do is look it up. Okay, and the part where it says, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The word touch, that word is 50-60. And that word means naga. Properly to touch, that is, to lay the hand upon for any purpose. A euphemism for to lie with the woman. You know, I know this blows a lot of people away because I've known about this for a while, but until the Ruach led me to gather more information and feel better with this, then I was ready, you know, to say, okay, I'm going to try to teach people. I'm going to give them understanding. You know, I'm going to at least present it and let them deal with it, you know, because there's a lot of things in the Bible a lot of people can't deal with. But, you know, it's up to the Spirit to lead you on these things. And we're going to come to a conclusion with this, so let's keep rolling. Okay. So let's see. I think I left off with touching it. Okay. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely not die. Once again, the serpent. He is either a fallen angel or Satan. Okay. I have a scripture where I'm going to take you to after break, and we're going to break down what that serpent was that is written of in the book of the Apocalypse of Abraham. And you be the judge of what they say in that book. So the part that says, ye shall surely not die. Let's look at that part. This is the first lie in the Bible. This is the first lie told to us in Scripture. And it was who? This entity in the garden that said it. As a serpent turned, you know, he uttered it. He hissed it. He possibly cast a spell. Who knows? That's what those words mean. Satan is called the father of lies, okay? Now, if you look at John chapter 8:44, it says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is the father of, he is a liar, and he is the father of it. We know that snakes can't speak, but Satan can speak according to Scripture. Okay? You know, these are all things we have to just consider. You know, a hiss. People hear these voices outside their head. You know, those are the fallen angels, the evil ones. They can speak. You know, angels were spoken of throughout the entire Scripture, and they look like us. Okay? So, is it possible? Is any of this possible? That's why I want to leave you guys with that today. I want to leave you with the thought of, is it possible? Now, I've got more to tell you. I'm not done. I just want to leave you with that little saying. Now, we go to verse 5. Excuse me. It says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The part that says, your eyes shall be opened. This is the second lie in the Bible. You know, this is the second lie spoken by that entity in the garden, known as the serpent. And we're going to find out who that serpent is. Okay, remember, the verse 1, that the tree that the serpent wants Eve to partake of, you know, he wants her to partake of that. It means to close the eyes. Remember, we just went over that? As in being deceived and losing sight of the only commandment from the Most High at that time that was given to him. So, you know, he's casting either a spell on these people, or he's doing something that's leading them away from the truth. Okay, he's putting false doubts, casting doubt on the Most High's word, and doing his little normal, his lies. People right now today are believing in these lies. Don't think they weren't believing in it back in the day, back in Adam and Eve's day. Okay, we're going to move along here because there's a lot of stuff I want to get out to you guys. And, you know, we're going to keep moving. Okay, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. Oh, wow, pleasant to the eyes. That word is 2530, and I'm going to try to pronounce these words. I believe it said shamad. It means to desire, to covet, to take pleasure in, to delight in, to be desirable, to delight greatly. You know, just what I'm reading, does this sound like an apple or something that you would have all these definitions for? You know, this is just food for thought. Okay, let's go on. And a tree to be desired. Let's look at that word desired. It's word 8378. And it means tahav awa. I can't even pronounce these words. Ah. They're Hebrew words, but I'm going to leave all these links so you can look them up yourself. It's word 8378, and it's from the heart, lust, and appetite, covetous in a bad sense, to covet, to wait longingly. That's what that word desire in that particular part of Scripture means, if you look it up in the Strong Concordance. Okay? And it treats a desire to make one wise. Let's look up that word, make one wise. Okay? Apples from a tree, they don't really make you wise or smart or anything. They're just good for eating, right? But whatever entity was in that garden can fill your mind with evil, with wisdom and evil thoughts. So make one wise. What exactly is the wiseness we're speaking of? Is it something from the Most High to enrich you? I would say not, because we know that they were thrown out of the garden. And the word took, it says she took it. She took of that fruit. Let's look at that word took. Hebrew word 39:47. Lakon, a primitive root to take in the widest variety of applications, to take, to lay hold of, to receive, to marry, to take a wife, to take to or for a person, to procure, to take, to get possession of, to select, to choose, to take in marriage, to receive, to accept. You know, wow. You guys starting to get the drift here? There's a lot of these words that if the proper words were put in when the translation was made, it would be clear what was happening in the garden. But instead, they put words in the Bible. Those who put the Bible together, that same crafty council, when they put that Bible together, they used words that, not that they were incorrect, it's just there's other words that could have kind of like made this real clear to us. What I tell everyone, we have to remember, this same crafty council and the people who are run by this same crafty council, you know, the dark side, they've been in works for a long time. So is it possible? Isn't it this possible? You know, that's what we have to look at. Is it possible? And I would say, just by look at what's going on with the New World Order, where we're laying at right now with this New World Order, you know, it's right at the door. You know, we got all kind of craziness going on in the world. So, yeah, I think it's possible. Now, I want to go a little further with you guys because I really want to hit this right. But before I do that, Rose, do you have anything you want to add to the comments?
Sure. I like to talk about the tree. Okay, we can go. I can give you a scripture in the New Covenant, Mark chapter 8, verse 24. It's about the blind man. When the blind man, who Yahushua healed, he first seen men as trees. He seen them as trees. And then Yahushua, he had to take them by the hand, and then he seen them naturally. So, you know, think about that, you know, right there. That's to give you an idea about the tree thing. And then we want to go into something further than about the tree. Okay, we want to talk about the fruit. She did pretty well. I think she did pretty good explaining about the fruit. You know, it's not always meaning literally. It could be, you know, different things like taking a part of something, you know, taking a part. You know, fruit is not always just an eating thing. It'll be taken into something. To partake, you know, that's what I mean. Or it's not just to consume the food, but it'd be partake. I give you scripture to back that up and say, read Proverbs 30:20. That's a good scripture to give you understanding about a woman, you know, laying with a man. Okay, I have another scripture that you can look up, Psalms 127:2 and Jeremiah 15, but I guess that's enough for now. But, you know, I just wanted to give you some examples of the fruit, the tree. I mean, there's so much more that I can give, but I think that's enough for now.
Okay, that's great. Because, you know, as we, as Hebrews, or shall I say the children who love and respect and want to do the will of the Most High, as we are here trying to learn truth from all the lies that's been taught before us, you know, sometimes it takes a little deeper looking into matters to know the truth. Because what we're going over right here, we're going to wrap this down to what is going on right now in this end times, what was prophesied to happen in the end times. And then, you know, you're going to probably see this connection. Wow, that does make sense. But just remember this, you know, these people, these same New World Order people who are so-called elite, you know, every single thing to get them where they are today, misleading the people, trying to take away from us scripture and understanding, removing it from our children's view, constantly pushing all kind of vile shows on TV, movie industry, lying about the Bible, scriptures, you know, all the lies. Like, you know, let's go back a little further. When you see the shows of the Ten Commandments, The Mummy, anything that has truth of the true people is twisted. You know, it's twisted to a point where if we didn't have this technology of a computer to be able to look into these things and see what, you know, look back into who made this film, what does history say about these people, and be able to do our own research, you know, a lot of us would be lost, let alone having good teachers. You know, so all this stuff right here, it's all possible. You know, I had something I wanted to read for you guys, and this right here is going to be taken out of the first book of Adam and Eve. Now, I'm going to read this to you. This is not in Scripture, but it is a book I felt should have been in there. With all books, we always have to use discernment. But let me go ahead and, you know, touch on this a little bit. It says, "Then he took Adam and Eve by the hand and began to bring them out of the cave. But when they had come a little ways out of it, Yah knew that Satan had overcome them and had brought them out before the 40 days were ended to take them to some distant place and to destroy them." And remember, that's his job, to destroy us, whereby leading us astray. Okay? So listen, pick up on what is said here. "Then the word of the Most High again came and cursed Satan and drove him away from them," them being Adam and Eve, okay? "And the Most High began to speak to Adam and Eve, saying to them, 'What made you come out of the cave to this place?' Then Adam said to Yah, 'Did you create a man before us? For when we were in the cave, there suddenly came to us a friendly old man who said to us, I am a messenger sent from Yah to you to bring you back to some place of rest.'" Now, there's a lie, okay? Because remember, it tells us in the beginning that the Most High basically rebuked Satan and sent him back, made him leave him alone. Okay, now check this out. "And we believed, O Yah, that he was a messenger from you, and we came out with him and knew not where we should go with him. Then Yah said to Adam, 'See, that is the father of evil arts, who brought you and Eve out of the garden of delights. And now indeed, when he saw that you and Eve both joined together in fasting and prayer, and that you came not out of the cave before the 40 days, He wished to make your purpose vain, to break your mutual bond, to cut off all hopes from you, and to drive you to some place where he might destroy you. Because he couldn't do anything to you unless he showed himself in the likeness of you. Therefore, he came to you with a face like your own, and began to give you tokens as if they were all true. But because I am merciful and am favorable to you, I did not allow him to destroy you. Instead, I drove him away from you.'" Wow. Did y'all hear that? You know, there's a lot that was said just in that those short couple verses. You know, it said that in verse 3, it says, Then when the word of Yah again came and cursed Satan. Remember, this was right when they were out of the Garden of Eden. Okay? And here it says Satan. Okay? This is taken from the first book of Adam and Eve. And he let them know that he tricked you. Because I told you, just like in the garden, not to touch anything, not to eat of that tree in the midst of the garden. He came once again and he beguiled both of you. You know, his mission is to destroy you. You know, and he didn't just come as Satan himself. How did he come to him? It said that he had to show himself in the likeness of you. Okay? Therefore, he came to you with a face like your own, and began to give you tokens as if they were all true. He told you lies. He twisted things up. You know, he's the father of lies, but he twisted up words to make you believe them. But because I'm merciful to you, and I'm favorable to you, I didn't let him destroy you. Instead, basically, I drove him away. You know, I drove him away. I got him from you. Now, if you read the first book of Adam and Eve, you're going to find that throughout the whole book, Satan constantly tries to deceive them. You know, and you got to think, we're reading about this in extra-biblical books, as well as Scripture says it. Don't think that the deception has stopped yet. Don't think that there's things that are hidden to us that the Most High wanted us to know about. All this is possible. Every single thing we're reading here, it's all possible. And I'm really sorry, but I still have a cold, so bear with me on this. I just know that this message, you know, it needs to be out in the open. It needs to be looked at, you know. If you have something later on, when that talk line opens up, please share with us. You know, share with us. Please bring Scripture with you, too, because I want to hear Scripture. You know, none of us want to be deceived. As the Most High's children, we are all coming together to try to find truth, to try to find understanding in what's happening right now. You know, we know that he said that this time we're living in right this second, the end times, Satan's going to be at his worst, him and all his minions, trying to deceive us, trying to make us lose our salvation. But just like when we found out that we were the Hebrews of the Bible and it wasn't those who called themselves Jews, like in Revelations 2:9 and 3:9. You know, recently a lot of us, I would say in the last 50 years, we just found that out. You know, in the last 50 years, we have just come into understanding. We are just seeing in the Bible, in the Scriptures where it says, hey, my daughters are black. This is black. You know, in the Songs of Solomon where it talks about being black, my daughters and all this. You know, I'll be honest with you. I never saw that before. I never understood that. When it talked about the Egyptians and the Hebrews being mistaken for each other, I never caught on to that. Just as well as when he told Moses to put his hand in his bosom and the leprosy deal. If we had to listen to the church people or TV people, we would think it was a deformed hand or something that had sores all over it. It wasn't until we searched the Scriptures out that we found out it meant a white blemish. That you know, there's clean leprosy and there's just regular leprosy, you know, turning white. There's two types, unclean and clean. But we are in a stage of things being revealed to us. You know, it's up to us to look and to try to have understanding. Search out His Word. Have understanding that those people who put the Bible together, there's a lot of things they left out, a lot of things that should have been included in that Bible. Don't just listen to what man tells you. Oh, don't look at Old Testament. Focus on the New Testament. You know, it doesn't matter who the Hebrews are. It doesn't matter what color they are. This doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Is that what the Most High has said? That it doesn't matter? I say not. Every single word in the Scriptures matters. Now, you either listen to man and his tradition and his ways and fall and lose your salvation, or we search out what our Father says. And what we know, this deception, this deceptional beast system we're living in now, what they could have tried to hide from us. You know, it's powerful when you think about it. You know, we're living in a time when even the prophets wanted to live into. They wanted to see what was going on. But we're here. We're here and we're seeing all this stuff that's spoken of in Scripture unfold before our very eyes. And things are still coming, you know, to light. We're still learning. You know, some people haven't woken up yet to be in Hebrews. You know, some people haven't woken up to know that, yes, there are conspiracies. Yes, there are evil people placed upon this earth, and they are powered by the dark side to do evil, to bring forth Satan's kingdom. This is all possible. This is all Scripture. You know, we're living in a part that's going to be spiritual wickedness in high places, meaning we're dealing with fallen angels and familiar spirits and everything that follows Satan. We're dealing with these people right now, these entities, not people. We're dealing with it. You know, it's not time to be scared of truth. It's time to open our eyes and understand it. Oh, I sound like I'm preaching. That's not what I'm trying to do, everybody. I'm just trying to get everybody to understand that. Is it possible, you know? I'm going to go down a little bit. Okay, it says, verse 8, let me pick it back up. And they heard the voice. And remember, I got to use the pagan names here because there's a point to all this, and I'm hoping somebody catches it before I get to it. But it says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. From the Lord God, I want to put those words together, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent, he beguiled me, and I did eat. Beguiled. What does that word mean? What did the serpent beguile mean? He beguiled me. Let's look at that word beguiled. That's the Hebrew word 5377. Guess what it means? It means nakash, a primitive word to lead astray, i.e. mentally, to delude, or morally, to seduce, to beguile, to deceive utterly. Okay, look at these words. We see the word beguile defined here, and it is far more than being tricked into munching on an apple. But the ancient Hebrew language of the Old Testament doesn't translate as well into English as the ancient Greek of the New Testament does. To really nail the point home, okay, here's what we're going to do. To really nail this point home, as far as what occurred between Eve and the serpent, let's read an account of it in the Greek language, okay? This might help. Okay, of the New Testament book, let's see, 2 Corinthians. Okay, let's go into a new language and let Apostle Paul teach us in the Greek language of the New Testament exactly what happened to Eve in the garden. Now, this is 2 Corinthians, everyone. I'm reading chapter 11, verses 2 through 3, and Apostle Paul is speaking. He says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chastened virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. Did you hear that? Oh, boy. Okay. Let's just look at that. the word serpent in that text, if you look up the word in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2-3, the word serpent there is, the Greek word is 3789. And I'm going to try to pronounce these words. It's office, probably from 3700. It says, through the ideal of sharpness of vision, a snake, figuratively, as a type of sly, cunning, and artful, malicious person, especially Satan. With the ancients, the serpent was an emblem of cunning and wisdom. The serpent who deceived Eve was regarded by the Jews as the devil. Okay? Now, this is in the Greek. I don't really like going to the Greek, but for this lesson, hey, we got to go to the Greek so that we have a clear understanding. It's saying the same thing in both Hebrew and Greek, okay? Now, the part where it says beguiled in the Greek, let's look at it. Greek word 1818, and it's called expatio. It says to seduce wholly. This was a sexual act, okay? Seduce wholly? Okay. There can be no misunderstandings as to the meaning of what the serpent did to Eve, as there is only one meaning of the word expatio in the Greek, and it means to seduce wholly. I know this stuff is probably blowing some people away. I already know. Let me look at my chat line. Oh, yeah, some people are catching on. I'm looking at the chat line here. Oh, yeah, y'all catching on. Okay, I'm just making sure that we're all on the same accord of what these words are meaning. And I'm trying to present this in a fashion where, you know, I want you to feel good about what these words, you know, feel good about what you're learning and to do some research. Use that strong concordance and look up those words. Go into some of these books that the Bible speaks of, like speaks of Noah, speaks of Enoch. Look at that book of Enoch that they tell you don't look into. Don't look into Enoch. If you don't look into Enoch, you're not going to know about these things because the book of Enoch tells you about them. Same thing with the book of Jasher, Jubilees, you know, first book of Adam, the Apocalypse of Abraham. These books go into deeper meaning. It's not that they take away from the Bible, the scriptures at all, actually. They enhance. It gives you a better, clearer understanding. You know, it was always told to us that, it was always told to us that the Roman Catholic Church had scriptures and different things that they took in past times and they hid. You know, how many of you guys believe that? That our Roman Catholic Church could do that? The Roman Catholic Church, the mother of all churches, they wouldn't hide anything, would they? Hey, don't think that a lot of these things that are hidden from us, Satan had his hand in everything. So we have to be wiser than the serpent. We have to have that understanding to look at these things, okay? Hey, Rose, you got anything you want to add?
If you want me to go into that book.
Well, I tell you what, not yet. I don't want you to go in the book yet because there's something special I got stored up for everybody.
Okay.
You know what? We're gonna go ahead and take that little break because we're at our hour time. So I got a little special something for you. And this what I have for you is actually taken from somebody who's going to be on one of my future shows. I can't remember if she got her name as Morning Sun 29, but she will be on one of our future shows. She made this video. And I tried to chop it up a little bit so I could squeeze it in. But it is very telling of what we're talking about now and what we'll be talking about in the future. So bear with me while we take a little break, family, and I'm going to go ahead and let you listen to this. It's called Serpent Seed Line, okay?
Genesis 3 and 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. This was God speaking to the serpent. Satan is known as the serpent, the dragon, and the devil. You can read that in Revelations 12 and 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Satan has seed in the earth, offspring, if you will. You can read that in Matthew 13 and 38. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. When did it all begin? Genesis 6 and 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and took them wives, all of which they chose. Now this is important. This is not a regular man sleeping with a woman. This is a son of God taking a daughter of man. Who are the sons of God? Job 1 and 6 tells us, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was among them. And Job 2 and 1, And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. Now, it's clear according to those two verses that Satan was considered a son of God. Now let's go back into the days of Noah and see what happened, because this will give us a better understanding. Let's read Genesis 6 and 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Giants was mistranslated in the King James Version. The New International Version says Nephilim, which is a correct translation. We have to look into what Nephilim means to get a better understanding of the scripture. In Hebrew, Nephilim means the fallen ones, those who fell. So that's been mistranslated as giants. Now look at this skull. It's not a normal human skull. And they were really giants. In the days of Noah, it was a very wicked place because of the Nephilim. In Genesis 6 and 8 it says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. He was perfect because he did not mix with the Nephilim. And of course, Noah was a just man. Genesis 6 and 5, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jude 6, And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So this is important. What did the angels do that caused such a great sin?
Jude is quoting from the book of Enoch and continues. Jude 14, Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. From the book of Enoch. And Enoch was blessing the Lord of majesty and the King of ages, and lo, the watchers called me, Enoch the scribe, and said to me, Enoch, thou scribe of righteousness, go declare to the watchers of the heaven, who have left the high heaven, the holy eternal place, and have defiled themselves with women, and have done as the children of earth do, and have taken to themselves wives. Ye have wrought great destruction on earth, and ye shall have no peace. Ye shall have no peace nor forgiveness of sin, and insomuch as they delight themselves in their children, the murder of their beloved ones shall they see, and over the destruction of their children shall they lament. Daniel 4 and 13, And I saw the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven.
There, Daniel tells us a watcher is an angel. Daniel also warns us that they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Was Yeshua trying to warn us when he said, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be? What was the key event in Noah's time? And it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. Unfortunately, the flood did not destroy all the Nephilim. Genesis 6, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also after that. While chances are you're not going to see a giant over 10 feet tall, Nephilims are still around. They might not be giant. They could be 6 feet tall. Or they could even be 5 feet tall. They're mixed with the seed of men. So how do you know who are Nephilims? As Daniel 2:43 says, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. So you're not going to be able to detect them just by looking at them. Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and his fruits good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. So the tree is known by his fruit. Was Yeshua speaking of the serpent seed line when he said this? Matthew 7:18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So Nephilim isn't going to be good. The fruit of your body is your children. Someone who has a lot of children are considered to be fruitful. Deuteronomy 30:9. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand and in the fruit of thy body. This scripture shows two kinds of fruitfulness, that of your works and that of your body. So you can tell a Nephilim by his works and by his seed line. Who was his father? Was his father a Nephilim?
Okay, I guess that's the end of it. All right, welcome. We're back for the second hour, the second half hour of this show. We have 30 minutes till the call-in line will be open, and I will announce that, but we do have our call-in line number as 646-595-4111. Today's show, revisiting the Garden of Eden, the version that they don't teach. So right now, what we're going to do is this. We're going to take a look at, before we go any further in reading what happened in Genesis, we're going to go ahead and just take a look at what the apocalypse of Abraham had to say. And Rose is going to read that for us, so why don't you go ahead and read that, Rose?
Okay, this is in the 23rd chapter, so you can go online and Google it and get this information. All the information she said, you can go, everything is out there now. The truth is out there. You just have to seek. That's what Yahushua said, seek and you shall find. So here I go. Look again at the picture who is the one who seduced Eve. And what is it? The fruit of the tree. And you will know what will be and how much will be for your seed in the last days. And what you cannot understand, I will make known to you because you have been pleasing before my face. And I will tell you what I kept in my heart. And I look at the picture, and my eyes ran to the side of the Garden of Eden, and I saw there a man very great in height, terrible in breadth, incomparable in aspect, entwined with a woman who was also equal to the man in the aspect and size. And they were standing under a tree of Eden. And the fruit of the tree was like, it was like appearance of a bunch of grapes of a vine. And behind the tree was standing something like a dragon in form, but having hands. And his feet like a man's, on his back six wings, on the right and on the left were six wings. And he was holding the grapes of the tree and feeding them to the two. I saw it entwined with each other. Now, look again in the picture and see who has seduced Eve and what in the fruit of the tree, and you will know what is to be and how it shall be with your seed among the people at the end of days of the age. And all that you cannot understand, I will make known to you, for you are well-pleasing in my sight. And I will tell you of the things which are kept in my heart. Continue. And I looked into the picture, and my eyes ran to the side of the Garden of Eden, and I saw it there, a man of imposing of height and mighty in stature, incomparable in aspect. And he was embracing a woman who was likewise approximately to an aspect of size and stature. And they were standing under the tree of the Garden of Eden, and the fruit of the tree was like a bunch of grapes of the vine. And standing behind the tree was one who had the aspect of a serpent, having hands and feet like those of a man, and the wings on his shoulders, six pairs of wings so that there were six wings on the right and six wings on the left. And as I continued looking, I saw the man and the woman eating the fruit from the tree. And I said, who are those two entwined with each other? Or who is this between them? And what is the fruit which they are eating, mighty one, eternal? And he said, this is the world of men, and this is Adam, and this is their thought on earth, and this is Eve, and this is he who is between them, the intimacy of their behavior unto prediction, Hazael himself. And I said, who are these who are embracing, and who is the one between them who is behind the tree? And what is the fruit that they are eating? And he said, this is the counsel of the world. This is one is Adam, one who is their desire upon the earth is Eve. But he who is between them, representing ungodliness and their beginnings on the way of prediction, even Azrael. And this is chapter 21, 1 through, 36. You can go online and look this up. Back to you, Georgia.
All right, that was great. Hey, excuse me once again. Like we said, that's taken from the Apocalypse of Abraham. And I did a little bit further research into some of the stuff that was in there, and I looked up, you know, what the word, it says at the ending here, it says in verse 33, at least the version I have, and I'm going to switch phones because I think my phone's getting ready to go out, you guys, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you what that word derives if you read the version I have. Okay, let me switch phones on you. Phone's acting up. Okay, can you hear me, everyone? Rose, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know about the people out there. They got to say something.
Okay. Hey, I'm checking my phone line right now, so I'm going to look to the chat room. Can you let me know if you hear me? Let me see. I'm trying to get some messages out there. Can anyone hear me? Can you just give me a shake of a hand or a yes or anything? Because I had to switch phones. I want to make sure I'm loud and clear. Yes, I can hear you. Okay, great, great. We're going to continue talking about this because I got some more interesting stuff to tell you guys to share with you. Okay, let's see. Somebody put the book of Obama. Okay, well, ha, ha, ha. Anyhow, going back to what Rose just read out of the Apocalypse of Abraham. Now, the version I have, like I said, they might differ just a tad bit depending on who translated them, but the same meaning is still held within each of them. And the part where she reads, it says, but those on the right side of the picture, they are the people who have been set apart for me and whom I have obtained to be born of your line and called my people, speaking to Abraham here. Even some of those derived from Azazel. Now, the word derive, here's what I have for that word. I have that word coming to mean develop or evolve from a latent or potential state, derive pleasure from one's garden. The present name derives from an older form, to educe, to gain, okay, to come, to descend. So those who descend from Azazel, that's kind of, ooh, okay, that word right there to me can mean a lot of things. I'm going to leave that one open, but my thinking on it is those who either have fallen to the lies of this angel, but have come into truth, you know, have come out of the lies of this world. That's the way I'll take it as, but it might mean something else. Don't quote me on that one. Okay, another thing that was said, the etymology of the word seduce. And in this verse right here, let me find it here, it says 34 in mine. It says, now look again in the picture and see who is seduced. See who it is who seduced Eve, and what is the fruit of the tree. Okay, I'm just going to read for the word seduced. Now, the etymology of the word seduce is a verb. It's an infinitive. It means to seduce. Third person singular, seduces. Simple past, seduced. Past participle, seduced. Present participle, seducing. To seduce. it says that present participle of seducing, simple past, and present participle seduced. So what I'm saying is just know the meaning for that word. You seduce somebody. And if you take it to even the terms we use the word seduce for today, when somebody says they seduce somebody, well, they're not talking about seducing an apple or seducing a book, but another person, okay? So that word seduce is not changing. The etymology of it is still the same. And the word beguiled, or to lure someone away from duty, okay, beguiled, accepted principle or proper conduct, to lead astray, to entice, or to induce someone to engage in a sexual relationship, to win over or attract someone. You know, seems like all these words keep leading to sex. You know, think about it. All these words we're looking up, it all comes back to the same thing. So, you know, then again I ask, is it possible that we have been given a totally different version of what was meant to be spoken within his words, because those who have translated didn't put the proper words that should have been placed in the Bible, in the scriptures, for us to have understanding? You know, is it possible? You know, that's something to look at. And then even at, well, I'm not even going to go into these other words, because I want to continue what we're doing right now, because there's a lot yet to bring out that, you know, I haven't touched on. And we got 43 minutes left, so I'm going to be opening a call-in line in about 13 minutes. So I'm going to continue, everyone, okay? And we're going to pick this up at, let's start at Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15. It says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Okay, let's look at this word. Okay, upon thy belly shalt thou go. Okay, and they just put, I got the definition for that, but they put a Hebraism figure of speech for utter defeat, as in Psalms 72:9 and Isaiah 49:23. Okay? It's a figure of speech. But the way I look at it is this. To be upon thy belly shall you go must have meant that you were standing up. Okay? That's almost common sense. And do we know of any snakes that just stand up, walk around, possibly have legs, that talk, that speak, that is so wise that they can beguile someone? You know, I'm just bringing food for thought here, everybody, just food for thought. Then it has the part where it says, I got more for that too, I think. Okay, yeah, it says, "The dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Dust shalt thou eat, as another Hebraism, figure of speech, meaning an ultimate term of degradation. Okay, just like in Psalms 44, chapter 25, verse, it's the same type. It's a figurative speech. Okay, when you tell somebody that they're going to eat dust, even in the terms we have now, you hear people say, "I think I don't quote me because I'm not very good at all these speeches," but they say, "Eat my dust." After they win something, they try to brag on it. "Now go ahead and eat my dust." They're basically saying, "Hey, you can't hang with me." They're bringing you down to a lower level. It's a degradation, okay? Eating my dust is nothing, you know, it's not a positive remark, okay? I'll just leave it at that. Okay, now, 15 it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Let's go ahead and look at this word, enmity. That's the Hebrew word, 342, and it means a bow, and I'm hoping I pronounced that right, but from 340, we see it means hostility, a primitive root to hate, as one of an opposite tribe or party, hence to be hostile. Okay? So I'm going to put enmity. I'm going to put hatred there between thee and the woman. Now, let's just look up that part. between thee and the woman equals not imagery between a garden snake and a woman. That doesn't even make sense, does it? But imagery between possibly the offsprings of the serpent and the offsprings of the woman, Eve, through Adam, and thus of who? Yah. Okay? Remember, he wants to get back at, he don't just hate us. He's having problems with the Most High, too. And I'm talking about Satan. Satan's having a problem with it. He has a problem with everybody. He's just full of hate at this point. So, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, let's look at the seed issue. Seed, Hebrew word 2233, is zera, seed, sowing, offspring, a sowing, seed. And semen, viral, offspring, descent, or descendants, I'm sorry, prosperity, children. Okay? If we take it one step further, we'll go to Strong Concordance number 2232, to become pregnant, to be made pregnant. Okay? Now, we're talking about the seed there. When they talk about seed in the Bible, usually it's talking about a line of children, okay? What you produce, children, your offspring. So you can look up that word more if you want to. I'm going to keep rolling with this because there's still a lot more to get out here. Okay, the word it. And when they say in the verse, and put enmity between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. It is speaking of Yahushua. And bruise thy head, there in that part right there, is speaking of Yahushua destroying Satan. And thou is Satan, shall bruise his heel. Okay, bruising whose heel? Satan causing the crucifixion of Yahushua. Okay? Because remember, he did get those nails passed through his feet. His feet were bruised, but it didn't mean that he was defeated. You know what I'm saying? Satan going to keep trying, and he's going to keep trying, and he's going to keep trying. I mean, it just doesn't stop. It's not going to stop. All this with Satan is going to continue till Yahushua comes back. Okay, till that second coming. Now, if you can understand that, you probably understand so far what I said. Now, Rose, you want to add anything to what I just said before I go on?
You can, you've done pretty good. You go ahead.
Okay, I will keep going, you guys. I was going to take a sip of water, but since I'm going to keep going, okay, let's go to verse 16 of the third chapter of Genesis. It says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, let's look at this. Okay. He's punishing Eve through a conception, okay, and talking about her bringing forth children. Does that sound like something that just because you ate an apple, the punishment, does the punishment sound like it's relevant to what we have been taught about eating an apple or eating a piece of fruit? You know, if we don't look at scripture, let's just use common sense. Because what the punishment is for, usually when we do something wrong, especially according to scripture, if you steal something, cut off the hand. You know, if your eye is, you know, talk about plucking out the eye. It talks about anything that you did something wrong with a part of the body is usually what got affected, okay? That's what I'm trying to bring about here. So let's look at this word. And it says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and, the word and reads as, and multiply thy conceptions. Okay? So, and means the multiply thy conception. Eve had twins. Okay? Thy conception. The word conception, Hebrew word 2032, a pregnancy. And you can take that word to 2029. It says, Hurrah, to conceive, to become pregnant, to bear, to be with child, to be conceived, okay? Progenitor. in sorrow. Let's look up that word sorrow. Hebrew word 6089. Worry or toil. This is not talking about the physical pain of childbirth. It's the mental anguish. After all, one son killed the other, and the remaining one was banished from Eve's sight forever. This brought Eve much sorrow. Think like a mother to understand this word, okay, when you have sorrow. You know, let's go on. Thou shalt bring forth children. Okay, the part where it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. In sorrow, it says, thou shalt bring forth children. Let's look up the word children. That's Hebrew word in the Concordance 1121. What they have is ben, son, plural. It says this Hebrew word is unique in that it is only used of male offsprings. It was talking about Cain and Abel. Okay? That's what that word children. It's a plural word, but it speaks of sons. That particular word, it's a word 1121, okay, from the Concordance. Look that up. Okay, we're going to go on. I don't want to stay at one point too long because I got a lot more to bring up. Now, here we go. Genesis the third chapter. We're going to hit the 17th verse. Okay, it says, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto thy voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, curses the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become one of us, to know good and evil, and now least he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Okay, the tree of life mentioned in verse 22. Okay, who's called the tree of life that we've known about? The only person I know is the tree of life is Yahushua. So, okay, although it was not time for him to be revealed in this prophecy, that's what the tree of life is. And when they talk about the different trees in the garden, that's who was there, Yahushua. Moving to 23, verse 23 of chapter 3, it says, therefore, Lord God, and I'm saying these words, and I'm really stressing it because I'm getting ready to bring a point to you, sent him forth from the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the to keep the way of the life of tree. Excuse me, I just really screwed that one. To keep the way of the tree of life. Okay, I'm sorry, you guys. But let's look at that word cherubims. Those are angelic beings, okay? And it says to keep the way of the tree of life. That means to preserve, to save, to protect, so that man should not live forever in his fallen condition, but only through Yahushua. So we are able to get this eternal life, okay? So, you know, we got to understand what everything means when we start reading Scripture. I'm getting ready to hit some really deep stuff here, but I want to check and see what time it is because I know I said I would open up this call-in line, and let's take a look at the time here. Oh, yeah, it's time for me to call in the open up the call-in line. So I tell you what, everybody, if you have a comment, if you want to share something with us, reveal something to us, please call in. The number is 646-595-4111. And just so you know, this is a continuing series because there's way more that we need to share. I mean, we're going to bring it down to what's currently occurring in the world today. But we first have to start in the beginning so you kind of can maybe understand that maybe things are hidden right in front of our face. You know, the Father says to search out the Scripture, like Rose said, seek and ye shall find. So is it possible that there was a mixing of the, you know, the bloodline, the seed line, whatever? Is it possible? You know, we're going to keep going with this, and you're going to tell me if you think it's possible. Because, excuse me, when I read further verses for you and you look at things that maybe you haven't looked at before, you're going to really question it. Is it possible? So the call-in line is now open. Rose, before I continue, do you have anything you want to share with us?
It sounds pretty good. You basically said anything, but to think about it, you know we've been lied to, because there's no way you're going to eat an apple and be punished and banished for everything for just eating an apple. It just don't sound right. Why? I don't want to go ahead of what we're supposed to be doing, but come on. It just don't make sense for the punishment for them to be put out of the garden because they're eating that fruit. They had to do something. And
yeah,
I'll just let them hang on.
Punishment.
Yeah, it doesn't fit their crime.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, we have a caller. You ready?
Okay,
I'm going to open up the call-in line, and the first caller of the night is 678. So, 678, let's see if we went through. Yeah, there you go. Hello, caller?
Hello?
Shalom.
Now, you know I called just to listen in. I didn't call to respond. I just called to listen.
Oh, you didn't call? Okay, because I thought maybe you just had, let me just ask this. What do you think of what has been said so far? What are your feelings on it? Is it possible?
Well, this is Joe. So we done had this conversation, and you know I know this is possible.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize the voice. Hi, Joe.
How you doing? My computer keeps freezing on me, so I had to call in so I can hear it on the call. But yes, this is very possible, and actually it's like a puzzle. It's just putting a lot of pieces together, because there's a lot of pieces or scriptures you might study, and you know, you might be told that, oh, this has what's the word? I'm missing the word that I'm looking for. But that these words, they have a symbolic meaning. You know, we've been told that, oh, this means symbolically this or this means symbolically that. But if you actually put them in place for what they actually mean, it all put together like a puzzle. So this makes much more sense than anything else that we have ever been taught.
That's right, you know, but like I said, we're that time of revealing. So all these things that, you know, we weren't able to understand 50 years ago, you know, we're getting insight on a lot of different things. But, you know, I'm going to keep, as I get it, I'm going to keep showing you. And really, it's up to everyone to pray upon and have understanding. But I think that once I finish this show, everybody's going to have a clear understanding of where we're heading with this show. Probably in the next show, you probably have even more understanding where we're heading with all this. But we first wanted to tackle that first Garden of Eden, because that one, you know, I've known about it for quite a while. But like I said, you know, I prayed upon it. And, you know, I don't do anything unless I'm led, you know, by the Ruach. I have to be led by the Ruach, because then I feel like, well, wait a minute, is this just me wanting to get out information that could possibly be wrong? Or, you know, the confirmation, I wouldn't be able to gather this much information if it wasn't, you know. And I just prayed on it, and that's how it all comes about. But we're going to continue this show, and I'm going to leave you on the line so that you can, you know, listen in. And I want to thank you for calling in.
No problem.
Even though you didn't call in. But I'm going to go ahead and put you back on hold so you can listen to the rest of the show. Okay, Joe?
All right. Appreciate it.
Okay. Shalom.
Shalom, sister.
All right. Now, before I go any further, Rose, I'm going to ask you again. Do you want to say anything before I start this back up?
I want to hear, let them have a chance to put their input on here.
Okay. I'm going to, when I have a caller, I'm going to let you know. So, okay, let me keep going, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now. Let's see what else it says, okay? Let's see what else the scripture says. Okay, I forgot where I left off. Let me take a look. Okay, I see I'm at chapter 4 right now. This is where it kind of gets real interesting. Okay, everyone, we're at chapter 4 of Genesis. And just to bring you up to date, we have so far defined who the serpent is, knowing that it's not just a slithering snake that talks and that jumps around like you see on the TV, that jumps on his little tail. I don't think that's what it is. And we've looked at some of the words that are in Genesis by taking them through the Strong Concordance and other places to show you that these words have other meanings, okay? And we're also using some common sense to some of this stuff. It's just not the way we've been taught. So we're going to continue on now in chapter 4, verses 1. It says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." All right, this is where I want to get you guys. But I kept saying I had to use pagan words. You're going to find out why here. Okay, "And Adam knew," the word knew, he knew his wife Eve. Okay, the word knew, that word knew is sexual intercourse. There's other parts of the Bible, and I wish I'm going to have to find the links for that because I don't have it right in front of me. I thought I did. But anyhow, it's a sexual intercourse. Usually you'll find it where, like right here, it tells you, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Okay, if you go on a street corner and you see a girl that you might have known, just because you knew her, does that mean that she's pregnant and she conceives? Okay, so, that's just an example. Okay, but biblically, scripturally, when we speak of the word new, it's a sexual intercourse, okay? Now it says, Eve his wife, he knew Eve his wife, and she conceived. Let's look at that word conceived. Second conception, that was Abel, okay? And bare Cain. So, wait a minute, I got this screwed up here. What I want to say is to conceive means to bear fruit. She had, the first child born was Cain, okay? And what she said about Cain is the firstborn son. Let's see, I've gotten a son with the help of the Lord. Now, when you look up that word Lord, that's why I kept saying that word over and over. It's pagan, we know it is. Some people call it Jehovah and so forth. You know, there's a lot of names, but what I want you guys to notice from this verse right here where it says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. That means Adam had sex with Eve. Okay, and it says, and bare Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, if you look back throughout all what they were talking about, everything was Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. That's all they said. But in this particular verse, Genesis 4th chapter, the first verse, Eve said, after she conceived and bare Cain, she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. There's no Lord God in there. It's just Lord. Now, we have to think, okay, we know that these words are pagan. We know that man has translated these words. We know that there has been a deception since the beginning of time. Many people, when they see that, they're going to believe that Eve is saying, I have been blessed by the Father. You know, like we all, when we get blessings, we say, thank you, Father, for this blessing. Okay? That's the way it would read, just without knowledge. Thank you, Father. I received a child. Thank you. Okay, but why is it then that right after conceiving, now we know we gave you verses, we gave you definitions of her being wholly seduced and all these other words, and now she knows her husband Adam, she had sex with her husband Adam, and she conceived and bare Cain, okay? But the first thing she says is, instead of I have gotten a man from the Lord God, she says, I've gotten a man from the Lord. That word Lord, if you look it up, you know, it has a strong tie with the word Baal. We know what Baal was representing. That was representing Satan. you know, this is one that I recently picked up because I was, you know, studying the scripture, and I want to make sure I hit on every single thing that had meaning. You know, I knew those names were pagan, God, Lord, Jesus, all those names are pagan. You know, they're pagan. But for this particular study, I had to use them. I had to clear that point of looking back through the scriptures and seeing how they said, Lord God, Lord God. And then when you get to this verse, she just says, Lord. So is it possible, I ask you, is it possible I have gotten a man, a child, Cain? Is it possible that I got that man from Satan, Lord? You know what I'm saying? I don't know how many of you guys have thought about that, but just think on it. Is it possible that that's possibly what she's saying right there? You know, if you guys have, I'm going to go back, let me make sure, because I'm reading off another page, so I'm going to go check. No, we still have no new callers. Nobody got a question on that one? Come on now, I know you guys got questions. Okay, I'm going to continue. All right, so I just pointed out that that word Lord is by itself. There's no Lord God as all the previous other verses had it in there. This is the first time we just heard the word Lord. And we know that Satan is the ruler of this world temporarily now because the Most High has allowed him to be. So let's think. Let's think about all this. Okay, verse 2 of chapter 4, it says, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, the word again, she just gave birth to Cain. Now it says, and she again bare his brother Abel. You know, let's look up that word again. The Hebrew word 3254 means yasaf, a primitive root to add or argument, says often adverbal, to continue to do something. In other words, Eve continued in labor and had the second twin. Okay? Now, there is cases of two children who are conceived but not from the same father. Matter of fact, I was reading an article, and I'm going to post all this with the video, but I was reading an article where it said that this is coming really, really popular now. Excuse me. They call them fraternal twins, but they're women, you know, especially when you see them going on these shows like Maury and all this stuff, where are you the father? And, you know, no. Sometimes they're the father, sometimes they're not. And if you have a case of twins on there, well, no, you're not the father of this one, but you're the father of that one. You know, I think it's called, I want to say, bilateral twinning, they call it, or twining. But just look it up. Just Google it. Say, woman has two children by different fathers. Just Google that up and see what words you come up with. So what we're saying is that is possible that she could have two children by two different, being parented by two different fathers. It's possible, okay? Now, let's go a little further into this. Okay, it says, now, this is right at the point where the twins are coming of age together. Okay, in Genesis 4, 3 through 7. And in process of time, it came to pass. Oh, I'm sorry, did I tell you this is verse 3? Okay, and in time, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruits of the ground an offering unto I'm going to just say, start saying the correct word here, an offering unto Yah. And Abel, he also bought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Yah had respect unto Abel for his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his counsel fell. And Yah said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Why is thy countenance fallen? I don't know if that's a play on words or not, but it's like his didn't add up. He should have been on a higher level, but it was fallen. Okay, just listen to these words. Let's look at these words a little bit. It says, if thou doest well, shalt thou be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desires, and thou shalt rule over him. Okay, now we're going to move a little further on. I want to move to something in particular, but before I do, Rose, you got anything you want to add?
Okay, this is some really good information, you know, about this Eve. So you think Eve is nasty?
Do I think Eve is what?
I have a question, you know, like talking about Eve. You know how people, like how subtle Satan is and how he makes things to seem good and it seems tempting. I mean, has anyone in their life been tempted? I mean, you know, just to think about it, you know, I just want somebody to them to think. We just, you know, blame the woman, but that devil is something else because he can make things look right. He can transform himself as the angel of light. Look how he's doing in the churches. He got the people to see, believing that they're doing what the Most High have called them to do. But we're not, you know, we were not. So, you know, we look at what's going on here with Eve. Think about what's going on here out there in the world. I mean, if his deception is...
It's something else, I'll tell you that much. You know, they use the word subtle, too. That word subtle, you know, something that's subtle is very, very cunning or crafty. And we're speaking in a bad sense here. And, it talked about how subtle he was, you know, the serpent, and he's going to be subtle like that throughout the end of times. So this particular part of Genesis that we're talking about, you know, when you look at it, it was done so clever, so subtle, that, you know, if you really don't look into these words, you're not going to fully understand it. We look at it from that sense, you know. So the end time things that have happened to us so far that we're finding out now that people call conspiracies, you know, everything was so subtly done. And it was, all of a sudden, then we know about the New World Order. We learn about the government and their secrecies. We learn about these so-called bloodline families, these elite who run everything. We're learning how even Obama is related to all this blood lineage. You know, and I tell you one thing, since we're just throwing it out there, let me say this. Anybody ever wonder, now, usually the other presidents, we heard something about them before they became president. Where did Obama come from? I never heard his name ever spoken. But it's like, he could be that little serpent. You know, I don't mean to go there with it, but hey, he could be that little serpent. You know, he just kind of like swerved and slithered his way in. The people accepted every single word he said wholeheartedly, you know. Although, and the Hebrews, they were just so glad to get a Hebrew president, but we know he's not Hebrew. They were so glad to get him in there, the first black president, you know. And his words are so, a forked tongue, you know. They say one thing, but they mean another. You know, remind me of the serpent seed. Come on, let's be real with it, you know. It's that cunningness. We know that Satan is going to use his people, you know. The Most High will allow Satan to use people, you know. And we actually see that every day, people being used, and we wonder how all these new laws got put in and, you know, just everything that's happening right now. When we finally hear about it, many of us are shocked. Because, you know, they have done it, this crafty council that's in effect still, they have done it so subtly, and it's like, boom, it hits you, you know. You know, what scares me is this. We talk about this stuff, Rose, you know, listening yards, we talk about this stuff, but when that end time comes, even Scripture tells us that we're supposed to keep watchmen. We're supposed to be looking out for these things. We're supposed to know, because just as Satan can swiver and come in and get people while they're unsuspecting, fool people, deceive people. You know, the Most High said, no man's going to know that hour and that time. He's letting us know, keep your eyes open. And he's not just talking about the end times when Yahushua comes back or when the gathering of the people are, and destruction of mankind. He's talking about that deception's right there with y'all right now. And if y'all keep watchmen, you know, you guys might be stuck. you might, if you don't keep track, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, we're destroyed because we just take what somebody tells us. Oh, okay, it's truth. A lot of people, they go on YouTube and listen to all these different people. Hey, they give you scriptures. Hey, I heard scripture with it. Oh, that's what it meant. Oh, it must be true. You know, if we're not searching out the scripture, we're going to be really, really deceived. You know, and if it doesn't confirm somewhere else in scripture what these things possibly could mean, we're going to be deceived. Because the Bible, the scripture is telling us he's very, very clever. And, you know, I always push with, when I do my shows, I always push everybody pay close attention because he tells us over and over again, Yahushua said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You know? Don't be deceived. You know, and it's like, you know, we all have been in a deception state for so long. Now it's time for us to listen to what our Father has been telling us. Read the book. Understand the book. Seek knowledge within the book and pray. Pray for the Father to send you the Ruach for understanding. To take those, take down the blinders so you can understand what's being said here. You know? We got a caller. I'm going to go ahead and put that caller on. Let's see. Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Georgia. It's Kevin. How are you?
Oh, just wonderful. Shalom.
Good. Hey, it's an important topic you're teaching here, and I know you only got a few minutes left, and there's a lot of people, including myself, in the past few years that struggled with this this knowledge when it was brought before me. And, the Lord gives us this knowledge, and as you stated earlier with Genesis 3:15, where it says he will put enmity between the woman and seed and, and so on and so forth. I think that you're right when you say this is probably one of the most important and influences, you know, of the whole scripture, for it mentions right there in the beginning at Genesis, and it sets it up that there was these two seed lines. And before, you know, you can move on, you got to be clear in your mind what, you know, what they represent. And after a little research, you know, you'll find it, like you're trying to put it to the people, that it's pretty straightforward. When you find out what that word seed means in its context, if you use other examples in the scriptures, there won't be any ambiguity or confusion. When you move on to Genesis 9, 8, and 9, and where God is speaking unto Noah and his sons and saying, and I beheld and I established my covenant with you and with your seed after you. And then in Genesis 15:3, and where he's talking, and he said, Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one is born in my house, is mine heir. So as you can plainly see, the word seed refers to the offspring. So if you refer to the Strong's Concordance, as you alluded to, for the people to do in their research for further evidence, you will find that the Hebrew word for seed in Genesis 3:15 is the same as in Genesis 9:9 and 15:3. So if you go back, you know, you will see that it's multiple times. And, you know, like in Genesis 3:14, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dost thou eat all the days of thy life. And there you have it. The Lord is speaking to the devil, to Satan, that serpent, you know, our arch deceiver, also known as the destroyer, the adversary. And in that instance, the arch seducer. And for, without doubt, one of the two seeds is mentioned here. He's punishing them because thou hast done this. From that we can easily deduce that Satan actually did something, you know, and the term doing something more often refers to a physical action, not just the action of, sitting idly by on the sidelines, enticing or goading or provoking. He was actually physically involved in it. So I think setting the foundation right here in Genesis is very important. So it's really good what you're doing here.
Okay, great. You know, there's merit behind everything that we're talking about here. And it's just that I feel that we're in that end time where we need to discuss these things, bring it to the table, let the people, you know, let his people have the opportunity, you know, to have their eyes open. Because we know that at every moment, Satan is working to close our eyes. He's going to deceive us. And you know, if we have any type of truth or something that could be truth, bring it to the table. Let the people look into it, research it, you know, pray upon it, and get understanding. That's the only way this stuff is going to come to light. So I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin. Yeah,
You know what's funny too, Georgia, is, you know, I mean, you got to ask yourself, like you were telling the listeners earlier. So ask yourself, you know, I mean, think about it. What does this all mean? It means that we're very definitely dealing with a physical seed that belongs to the devil. And, you know, and that beggars the question, you know, how can this spirit a being or fallen angel have physical relationships with the human being? Well, the only verse in the Holy Scriptures we can, rely on or turn to for any evidence is the Genesis account, you know, and there it is right there. You know, he told us everything in the beginning.
That's
and
right.
I'll let you finish up your show and Shabbat Shalom. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Shalom, and thanks for calling, Kevin.
Yep, bye.
Okay, well, Rose, we got about 3 minutes left for the show, so you want to say anything before I close up the show?
Well, Kevin basically just said hit the, you know, like the nail on the button, you know, when
he
needed it. And so he, you know, helped the people out there to get the, go ahead and you seek it out and pray, and the Ruach will give you understanding if you want it. It's up to you to seek out, because he will give you understand the mysteries, you know. This was a mystery.
and it's being revealed to us right now. Hey, there's one more point I want to bring up, because the next show I want to edge it, you know, go into a different direction with this, but I want to mention something about the Garden of Eden. Now, keep in mind, they had sinned with their mouth, so say, by eating this apple. If they sinned with their mouth by eating this apple, why is it when their eyes was open and they knew they were naked, why did they sew fig leaves like, you know, aprons and put aprons on them? With an apron, you're covering up your private parts, right? So does that make sense? You ate this apple. Now you put an apron over your private parts, and now you know you're naked. Usually when people get naked, and I'm not talking about just the heathen out here want to just run around naked. I'm talking about when a person gets naked, usually there's a sexual parts of your body that are involved, you know, and that's what's occurring there. You know, the apron deal. Think about it. Why would the apron be put over the private parts of your body for eating an apple? These are all things that, you know, it just makes sense, okay? Now, we only have 2 minutes left for the show, and I appreciate everyone in the chat line for coming in, you know, those who called in, those who just listened. Like I said, we got more series of this coming up because there's more to the story, okay? This doesn't end right here. There's more to the story. So we have our next show, which is scheduled for next Friday, and I'm probably going to put that show as well for 2 hours. You know, and I'm hoping that more people call in with questions. Hey, you got a whole week to digest this. Go look it up. What I'll do is, if you know the biblical Hebrews of the Bible, I'll put some of these links there in a box for you to go ahead and check out. I'll call it, it'll be named whatever my show's name is, okay? It'll be named Revisiting the Garden of Eden, the version they don't teach. So go ahead if you want to take extra look at what we're talking about here, because I have so much more. I haven't even begun. I mean, it's really going to open your eyes to things that I believe that were hidden from us. And, you know, with that said, I just want to tell everybody that today is the Shabbat. Today is our special put-aside day for rest. And I'm just so happy that Rose and I were able to share it with you guys. And, I mean, it means a lot to both of us to be able to, you know, speak the scripture and talk about what he wanted us to talk about on his day, scripture, and hopefully get better understanding. So, you know, with that said, everyone, next Friday, please catch the second continuation of our show. And I just want to wish everybody a very, very blessed Sabbath. And, you know, we're just going to go from there. We're going to go from there and keep this thing rolling till we take you to the end of this series. And I have them lined up, okay? I'm making ways so that this information can be bought out there. And keep up with us. And I'm going to make this into a YouTube video. So I'll have it posted on my site if you guys want to take a look at it, okay? So just have understanding to all that. It's all going to be right there for you. Shalom, everyone.
Freedom, we need freedom, 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 we need freedom, 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 we need freedom, 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 we need freedom, 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 we need freedom, freedom, freedom. We need freedom, freedom, freedom. We need freedom, freedom, freedom. 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 We need freedom, freedom, freedom. We need freedom, freedom, freedom.